You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
I'm not suggesting how we phrase things was appropriate.
So how else to interpret
that? But I will point out this.
Come that, here and take
just
the
let me finish, Bill.
That's not immigrants.
Let me finish up. I didn't interrupt you.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
All right, now we got these two guys back together again on the show. I should probably change that so they don't get mad at each other all over again just for fun.
Or schedule them together every day.
Yeah, either or.
Either way. From the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa and the Bill Carroll Show Fridays on News Talk 1010 and Coast to Coast, it's Bill Carroll. Hi, Bill.
Hello, good to be back again.
Welcoming him in from the pole position, a position he loves to be in, John Pole. Hey, John.
G'day, g'day.
And political I don't know what that meant.
I love it.
And political commentator, international man of mystery in studio, Trevor Mayer.
How's it going?
Hey, Trev. I'm going to pull a bit of an audible here and get rid of the original story we had intended to speak about because, well, quite frankly, it bored me, and I like this story a lot better. There's a school here in Ontario that is apologizing and now is on the defensive because they didn't host a moment of silence at 11 o'clock on Remembrance Day. They claim that it interfered with their recess schedule, so the kids were all playing out in the yard, and at 11:45, they had a ceremony. Now, make matters worse here, one of the students at the school, it's an elementary school, his dad actually served this country in Afghanistan, and now you have a situation where mom and dad are pretty upset about this. Bill, we'll go first with you. I know this is all information you're just getting from me the first time, but it's pretty straightforward stuff. Did the school really screw this up?
You know, there are just moments that define who you become as a child and who you grow up to be because of the moments you had when you were a child. And we talked about this on Remembrance Day, about my memory of being at those school assemblies. There's something about stopping at the same moment as everybody else. I stood outside here in Ottawa on a freezing cold Remembrance Day, and I was shivering, and I was watching these Marines standing in front of me in their very thin uniforms, trying not to shake and shiver. But when the whole city goes silent, there's nothing like that. You can't do that half an hour later or 45 minutes later. It is so utterly disrespectful. And you would just think an institution like a school would know better. It's just, it's either a lack of understanding or caring about who we are as a people, how we got here, what we stand for, or they're just lazy. I'd like to hope it's the latter, because you can fix lazy. It's hard to fix ignorant.
You know what's interesting, Trevor? There are a number of parents that are writing in at 71010 saying my kid's high school did that. There was another one that says, really hate to tell you this, Ryan, but more than one school does that. They do the moment of silence when they come back in the gym for assembly. And I agree with Bill. I don't think that's the same.
No, I don't think it is either. And I understand from a logistics standpoint and a programming standpoint that it's probably easier for the school to plug it into their existing timetable. But I think there's certain points in the year that you make an exception, and maybe someone misses 30 minutes of their English class, or maybe someone misses a component of something else they're supposed to do. You know, like I'm actually against making Remembrance Day a holiday, because I think one of the most important parts about Remembrance Day is being in school and actually having to go to those assemblies and understand why it is so important, not just World War I, World War II, other conflicts that we've been in since then and are still continuing to be involved in. And I don't think you get the gravitas of that, echoing what Bill said in terms of everyone across the country at the same time, but also actually having some of these veterans come in and explain it to you and sitting there and hearing taps play and being part of that assembly at that time, I think is quite important. So I get in terms of the timetabling that it's probably logistically more easy, but I think we need to step it up and be a little bit more brave, and maybe someone misses the class that day.
Yeah, John Paul, I mean, a lot of this week after Remembrance Day has been conversations about patriotism, conversations about what Remembrance Day means because of a lot of different news stories. But I just wonder what the meeting was like when they were making this decision, if there was a meeting at all.
The only defense I could muster up, and it's pretty weak because I agree with everything that Bill and Trevor had to say, but the only defense I could muster up is kids don't have a sense of time. They really don't. Like, if you deal with a lot of elementary school kids, you can ask them, hey, what time is this? And they'll be like, I don't know, it's after second lunch. Like, they don't have a concept of actual time. So as long as they're celebrating it, and maybe that's the only argument that I could think of that would justify it. Other than that, I just can't believe a school board would be so boneheaded and not make it mandatory. It should be 100% mandatory, because Bill said something that I always feel it's at 11 o'clock when you hear radio stations go silent, TV go silent.
Yeah.
Even Fortnite went silent at 11 a.m. The kids should also be in a gym silent.
Screw
yeah, there's a beauty to that, isn't there?
How did you know that Fortnite went silent? I'm just curious, John.
It was a big thing. Actually, the Legion teamed up with Fortnite, yeah. And they actually made an island you could go, and it actually was
memory.
Yeah, cool. It was very cool.
Really there was some controversy around it, though. People said that the Legion shouldn't have got involved.
What a great way to engage youth, though, and finding a different way of engaging youth to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm. Parking, an absolutely massive issue in the city of Toronto, always has been, but will it always be? Cities across the country doing all kinds of new technology and new studies to find ways to find more efficient ways for us to park, as we tend to make our downtown cores even more packed full of people with more condos, more buildings. In Calgary, plate reading technology has led to variable pricing according to On Demand. Here in Toronto, we kind of look to other cities and sort of their pilot projects, because we do love a good pilot project. The city of Montreal planning to offer, this is interesting, on-street parking discounts to drivers who are carpooling. At the same time, if you're driving what's deemed a polluting vehicle, such as an SUV, you could pay more. I'm interested, Bill, is this the type of thing that would appeal to you as far as parking goes, or is this not a great idea at all?
Well, you know, let's not pretend this is to help people find parking or encouraging parking. That's not what it's about. It's about discouraging people from driving. So let's just be honest about that. I have an SUV. I feel like I already pay more for my gas, which means I pay more tax. I feel like I'm doing my share. If in the end I have to pay a little bit more to park, I'm still not going to park my SUV. So that's not going to change my behavior drastically. So to me, you know, cities do these things. They think it's going to change it. But we built cities in North America around the car. That's unfortunate because we, you know, I'm looking at these videos coming out of Venice today. There's a problem with the environment we have to fix. But we never seem to be able to change people's behavior because we built the cities the way we built them. If I'm coming in from the suburb, I work downtown, I want to go to a show downtown, and then I'm going to bring my car most of the time. And that's just the reality. And having more people now Ubering and Lyfting just means more cars on the road than ever before and fewer people on public transit. So it'll be a failed effort in my mind.
Do you agree with that, Trevor? Has the way in which we drive changed? I mean, I you don't drive, do you?
I don't own a car, but I borrow my parents' car if I want to zip around somewhere. Or I take different car share things as well. You know, I view this as like a chicken egg thing, right? If you're going to, it was the same concept when they wanted to tax the gardener, right? About people coming in, is that if you're going to attach a tax or a different pricing schedule to any of these type of behaviors, then you need to actually step up and provide alternatives before. So the other problem is that, I mean, you increase revenue off of parking fees and off of bigger cars or different times or different areas of the city, fine. But if I either have to pay more or not come into the city, like, what's your solution? Are you increasing go schedules? Do you have better TTC timelines? Are we actually investing in things so I don't have to take my car? I'm not taking it because, oh, I have to pay $2 more, or I don't have to take it. Transit's actually a better solution for me. And so the problem is you're going to collect more money, but it's actually going into a dedicated pot to actually pay for this. We know how ridiculous it is to build any type of transit in the city. I don't have a tremendous amount of faith of those alternatives. I look at my parents, though, too. So my parents live in Mississauga by Clarkson Go Station, and they have a Mervish subscription, and so they come into Toronto quite regularly for that, for dinner and all that. They no longer drive because parking's too expensive, it takes too long to find parking, and the GO train is just a much easier solution for them to get into the core and get out and not have to worry about traffic. That's great because they're on that line. Where do other people go? And I think if there's better solutions for other people in Etobicoke, other people in North York or Scarborough, wherever, or even in the city to actually get where they need to go in a cost-effective way, we don't have to worry about parking. It will just rule itself out naturally.
John, I don't know if there's anything left, but feel free to take a try.
Well, you know, it's interesting. If you take the parking argument from the big city to small town Ontario, everyone has this question is, do you make people pay for parking and pay more for parking, or do you make parking free and encourage more people to come downtown so that they can do business on a main street Ontario? And every town across the province has this argument, and some will say it needs to be free and some will say it needs to be paid, and no one's ever solved that. So when you take that same argument to the city, and the reality is the real estate's worth a lot of money, so you got to charge. And I think you just got to be ready to be always paying more for parking. That's how it's going to be. You can say it's environmental, you can say it's carpooling, you can do it any way you want. It's just going to be supply and demand, and it's going to cost more.
Let's stick with the idea of real estate. Amazon is spending millions of dollars designing and constructing a homeless shelter in the heart of downtown Seattle. The online retail giant partnered with a nonprofit to transform one of its urban campuses into a home for the less fortunate. Now, it's going to open next year. It's going to house 275 people per night. They'll have private facilities, private bedrooms, private washrooms. They say, you know, this is our way of being a good corporate citizen. Bill, we live in a city where housing is an issue, homeless shelters are an issue, overcrowding is an issue. And we always hear from politicians that we don't have the funds necessary to build the housing that people so desperately need. I love this idea of a private company stepping up, and I don't see why we couldn't make it part of something going forward where we say, you want to do business here, you want a headquarters in Toronto, or you want a campus here in Toronto, you've got to do this for us as well.
Yeah, I think the idea is a good one, and I don't want to discourage private businesses from doing it. Obviously, it's a great idea. It doesn't, it can solve part of the problem, but people are homeless for all kinds of very complicated reasons. And as long as you put the right security in place, because homeless people don't like to go to shelters, they get stolen, they get assaulted. You know, there's a lot to it. So I think it's a good idea, but boy, you're taking on a big deal. You know, I worked with one of the charities here that houses homeless people, and they'll tell you it's a complicated business. It's not as easy as supply a warm bed and a roof over people's heads. So I just hope they get it right, but I certainly commend them for trying.
Yeah, you look at it, the plans, at least from what we've seen, show a large cafeteria, like a dining room, a playroom for kids, personal bedrooms. It seems to tick a lot of the right boxes, Trevor. Is this something that's going to catch on?
I mean, I hope, but let's also realize one of the reasons the government doesn't have the ability to pay for this itself is because Amazon pays virtually no taxes, right? They generate wealth, absolutely, but they're not contributing to the organizations that traditionally take on this type of work. So, good. They should be paying for these type of things. They've contributed to the housing crisis in Seattle significantly, which, again, has brought a tremendous amount of economic development and mobility to their population, but it's also pushed a lot of people out of the housing market. So, frankly, you're not paying very much. You're benefiting off this. I think you should be stepping up to the plate and contributing.
John Pohl, final word?
I like any time you have a problem and you can encourage someone other than the government to solve it. And this is something we should be doing more in Canada. We should be looking less at tax increases and more encouraging businesses to help solve the problems we have around the corner, around the block, across the province. Because when businesses get involved, problems will get solved, and it will cost a lot less than if the government does it.
John Pohl, Bill Carroll, Trevor Mayo, great conversation this afternoon, everybody. You kept it clean. You didn't fight dirty. Really enjoyed it. Thank you all.
Cheers.
Nobody interrupted anybody.
Well, there you go.